How many understand when Brother Ted preaches that he usually runs y'all over the Scripture? This morning, though, that's the only place I'm going to ask you to turn. And let me give you a little heads up of what I plan on doing with the help of the Lord today. I want to define four words that are here. And I've got a direction I want to go. I feel like the Lord has given me a word to share with you. And I'll get into that word in a few minutes. Let's stand to our feet. Romans chapter number 5. We're going to read the first 5 verses. Can everybody hear me good? Hallelujah. I guess I'm coming good on the PA when we're recording this. Again, do remember, as we're dismissed, after we have our fellowship, to take one or two of those CDs, give this to somebody. How many believe a word shared can be the word somebody needs? I believe God is in it. Amen. Romans 5 and 1, if you're there, give me a big loud amen.
Amen.
It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, say this with me, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Reach your hands this way and let's agree together in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your holy, infallible Word this morning. We thank You for the anointing of Your Spirit. And Lord, today as we look to You, have Your way, minister by Your power, be glorified through the words that we're going to speak. As we look to the Scripture, just minister, Lord, to hearts and minds, mold us into the person You'd have us to be. Be glorified through this assembly of believers this morning. I acknowledge You in all of our ways. I ask You, Lord, to direct our path. Lord, touch our mind, touch our heart, touch our spirit. Uplift, encourage, break, destroy every yoke and every bond. Loose Your children. Lord, that we would receive everything You have for us today. I'm praising You in advance for what You're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I will have to say that this is some of my favorite verses in the Word of God. And I made the statement, my favorite verse is the one I'm currently reading. Let me know that there's a lot in there that's good. We thank God for the Holy Word of God. It's preserved for us as God moved upon men of old to record the Scriptures. We have it preserved for us today, and I'm thankful for the Bible. I like all 66 chapters, books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses. There's a lot there. I want to focus on just a few words here today, and I tell you what I'll do. I will preach till I'm done. I've got a few things in mind I want to share, and if you will follow along, I believe the Lord will give you something out of this today. There's a big word here, and it's not even one of the words that I'm going to talk about, but the word faith. And notice both verses 1 and 2. He tells us we're justified by faith. We have, verse 2, access by faith. How many know that without faith, it is impossible to please God? According to Hebrews 11 and 6, we've got to have it.
Amen.
He that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I believe today. I trust today. And that's what I get when I think of faith, is believing and trusting in what God can do. Now I'm going to ask you today, as I delve into the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to do some self-examination. You know, we say we trust God. We say we believe in God. We say that we plan on going to heaven when this life is over and all our reliance and faith is in Him. Yet we find ourselves so easily shaken and so easily moved when problems come our way. And as I read this, he paints a picture that if we've got faith and we have access to God, we've got peace, we're justified, he's saying that we can glory in tribulation. You know, understand that what we've got going on down here is only temporary. We need to have a broader view, and we need to understand that life is a vapor. It comes and it goes. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It flourishes it blossoms and it withers. At best, if we have 70, 80, 90 years down here, that's a blink of an eye in the scope of eternity. And we need to focus our energies looking forward to what God has for us. Amen. These sufferings work for in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory the Bible teaches us. Amen. Looking at these, I want to first define for you the word justified. Notice verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Justified means to be declared not guilty in heaven's court. And it's based on faith. How many understand that you're no longer in Jesus Christ by faith in His atoning sacrifice? How many understand you're no longer under condemnation? Yeah, I know folks that they continually struggle and they relive over and over in regret and in anguish those things that they have done in their past. I am glad today, and you need to get this in your mind, I am glad today that my past is past, it's gone, it's forgiven, it's forgotten, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, removed from me. He cast it behind His back. He says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, never to be remembered again. I've shared this. I had a good friend of mine. He loves the Lord. And he was sharing with me as we were driving down the road how that his pastor told that church that God reminded him, Brother Mike, of his former sin to keep him humble. And I stopped him in mid-sentence. I said, no, he didn't either. Are y'all with me? I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus cleanses to the uttermost. And what he does well. I like how the writer said, He hath done all things well. And friends, when Jesus does the work, He does it right. And when He forgives you right and complete. And He's not going to remind you of that old, rotten, stinking corpse of a man that's in the grave buried with Him in baptism. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But guess what, friends? I've been given new life through Jesus Christ. I come out of that tomb with Him. That old man was buried with Him. I died with Him. I took up my cross and I followed Him. And I went to that grave. And I didn't stay there dead. He gave me brand new life. Hallelujah. By faith we have justification. What a big, wonderful word. As the gavel of God's justice strikes against the holy desk in the high court in heaven, I believe there is a pronouncement how that we are free. Declared not guilty because of the blood of the Son of God. And I want you to know that was really the cue to start shouting. I've got a lot more chances for you and opportunities today for you to take up. It says we have peace with God because we've been declared not guilty and the weight and load of our sin was cast upon Him. And hallelujah, in God's sight, in God's presence, are y'all ready for this? We are elevated to a greater status. I am a son of God. Wrap your mind around that a minute. You love Jesus today. You have faith in what He's done for you. But David, you're a son of God. And that status means so much to know that I am an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All that heaven has is mine and it's at my disposal. I believe today, now y'all may think I'm off in left field, but I believe today we can command angels. I believe today that we have power over sickness and disease. I believe all the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of God, power for service, everything that we need is all wrapped up and provided through the cross of Calvary, what He paid for us. But I want to tell you today, look to your neighbor. Look in front of you. Look behind you. Look to your right. Look to your left because we are selling ourselves way short of who we are and what is ours. I possess it, friends. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Because of this, we have peace with God. Peace, wonderful peace. Hallelujah. Sweep it over my soul. That song, Sister Baby, I forget the words, in billows of love. Fathomless. You can't comprehend it. Billows of love. And there is nothing like
knowing the Lord.
There's nothing like, there's no equal, there's nothing compared to the presence and touch of God. Can you say amen? Let me continue here. Verse number 2, by whom also we have access. The first word I'm defining for you is justification. We're declared not guilty. The second one is access. Somebody say access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Access means we have a key to the door. Now, there's some folk act like they're locked out. They look like they've been sucking on a lemon, a dill pickle, baptized in lemon juice, y'all heard. Bass about this song. I love the Lord today. I smile, I laugh. And if you come to church thinking you're expecting a funeral home, you came to the wrong church. Ain't no funeral home right here. If there's something dead, let's take it out and bury it. This is life. And He come to give us life and give it how? More. Abundantly. And this morning as I was going around and I was praying over each pew and the Holy Ghost was just ministering to me, I knew something God had in store for us today. And friends, I want you to receive what He has for you. But first of all, we need to recognize our elevated status in Him and what is before us and what is my right, what is my privilege, what is available to me as a child of God. I have the keys today. I can come. I can go. I can open. I can close. And friends, you can lock the devil out of your life. I believe that. My house key states that there's nothing can keep me out of my house. I can unlock the door. And I've got children and a wife. Bless their hearts. We walk through the driveway. When they walk in, they'll close the door and lock it without thinking. And I'm walking right behind, boom, I hit the door. It's just a reflex. I know they're not trying to give me a hint. I'll whip out my keys and say, you can't get me out. And that's the way it is with the things of God. Through Jesus, you've been given the key. Listen to access. Hallelujah. It means admission. To lead toward, to conduct near, to summon, to present, to approach. And it was used to mean to draw near. God is saying that curtain is no longer a barrier. Hallelujah, that wall of partition has been removed. I've ripped it from the top to the bottom, and I am telling you, you've got an open invitation. Come on in. If there is anything that stops you from getting to God, it's you. It's not God. And hear me now. It's not the church. It's not the preacher. It's not your neighbor. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your kinfolk. But it's you. You're the only thing that can stop you from getting to God. Jesus, with His own flesh, tore that curtain. Hebrews says that curtain represented His flesh. So that we, passing through, Brother Micah, two pieces of torn flesh, enter into the presence. Somebody lift your hands, praise the Lord. We have access. The door is open. Our ticket has been validated at Calvary. Number 3, a word I want to define, and I want to dwell a minute on this, is the word patient. How many need patience? How many pray for patience? Appreciate it, brother. Good job. Someone says, if I pray for patience, I'll get tribulation. I'll get trouble. You don't want that? How many want it easy? Give me that smooth sailing. Won't make no way. I want it easy. We want to be in that comfort zone. If it's too hot, if it's too cold, if it ain't just right, someone say praise the Lord. Patience, catch this, is a character trait. I want you to say the word character. A character trait. I'm going to dwell on that just in a minute. Patience in the original language, I love this, means cheerful or hopeful endurance. God is saying, by granting us patience, is that I'm giving you something better to focus on than your temporary discomfort. There was your second huge challenge. Y'all, every one of you all missed that. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. I recognize though when I'm right in the middle of the battle and my little tiny world and my little castles of sand are all crumbling around me. I've stubbed my big toe. I've skinned my knee. And it seems like when these little things fall upon us that we just pout up and we think our world's come to an end, then they tell us that some of the tribulations other folks go through and I start feeling shame. I don't know if God has wrapped me up and put me in this wonderful cocoon and I'm thanking God for all He's already kept me from. Amen? But though you go through the hardest of hard trials, I want you to know that in the scope of eternity, as I've already mentioned, it pales in comparison. Hear me now. And God is saying, with patience, I want you to focus on something greater. And if your focus is on something greater, you can, with cheerfulness, go through that temporary trial. Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail, after being beaten on their backs bleeding in maximum security on foreign soil, ready to be condemned to death, started singing songs. I'm going to tell you something, friends. They had something, church, they ain't got. Are y'all with me? They had something the church ain't got, and they had something the church desperately needs. I want you as a church to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We need to hunger for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Friends, I want you to know, glory to God, we can go down here to the McDonald's or the Dairy Queen or Wendy's and have fellowship with somebody, but when we come to this house, we come here to have church. We come here to visit with God. We come here to experience the power of God. I don't want church as usual. I love you all. Invite me over to your house and fix me something to eat. We'll have fellowship. Don't get me wrong. We're eating after church today. I didn't come today for a free meal. I've come today to experience God. I've come today because there's something inside of me that groans, that yearns, that longs. David said, as the heart pants for the water brook, oh God, my soul desires you to dwell in your courts, to be in your presence. He shows the law. We need God today. We need the power of God. We don't need no more programs. Hear me now. We don't need no more personalities. I've had enough of personalities. I've had enough of programs. Hear me now. We need God and we need a large dose of it. That's what the church needs today. We need access. And we need to know that this open door that's before us, all we've got to do is with the effort of our will. The availability's already there. Hear me now. Someone said, oh, just pray I'll get close to God. 3 years close to God is one day. Are you saying God's withholding the closer walk from you? Someone say, praise the Lord. That door's open. He loves you. He loves you more than you can comprehend. He loves you more than you love Him. Hear me now. I'm so glad that the love of God, hallelujah, shined in my heart. And friends, it's a revelation. When you know Jesus and you understand how good He is, you want more of Him. You desire that closer walk. You'll walk through that door when you recognize the key is there. Glory. Patient, cheerful, or hope, endurance. Jesus said, don't turn, listen. Luke 21:19, in your patience possession your soul. Y'all listen to that? We love the Lord. We tell our children, love the Lord. Trust in God. Yet, when the slightest wind comes along in the midst of the hair, oh Jesus, you forgive the second. Lord, you've left me. Glory to God. I will say, oh me, oh my. Somebody say, preach. Thank you, I believe it will. So easily moved, yet we tell others, He's my rock. He's my fortress.
He's my hope. He's my refuge. Hallelujah. He's my high tower. I run into Him and I'm safe. I'm believing and I'm trusting Him. The righteous aren't going to be moved. Luke 8, verse 19. But on that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Turn to your neighbor and say, fruit comes by patience. You know, this month, my 50th birthday, my wife's less than 50th birthday, our 10th anniversary here. And I want you to know, we're not having to bust out the walls. You've got a good crowd today. I want to see more people here. But I've got a hope greater than some here. I'm just a hopeless optimist because I believe God is able to do anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've got joy today. I've got peace today. I've got an open door today. And when you see these things, and you understand what Jesus has done for you, you can encounter life's problems. Brother Bill, we can approach those issues with patience and hope and peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Psalm 37:7, he said, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself, because of Him who prospers in the way. I tell you what, we can have patience in Him. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, and your hope, then do we with patience wait for you. Now you're still in Romans chapter 5. My next word I want to define for you is the word experience. And here's where we're going today. I've said all of this to get to this point. Because the word I feel the Lord dropped in my spirit comes from this. Looking the word experience up, Brother Micah, it means approved. Pride, character. Somebody say character. Proof. Specimen of pride's word. What does it mean to have experience? Life over time has dealt you that which has molded you into who you are today. I want to look at the word character for a minute. And I know some of you are thinking, Brother Ted, you are a character. How many will agree with that? That's okay. I'll take that. Character, though. Think of character. Now, I want you to notice here in Romans 5, I want to read this again, but in another version of the Bible. And I want you to listen closely to this, if you don't have this version before you. But as you're reading, don't you read, how many got the King James Bible today? That's what I appreciate. I enjoy the King James. It says, now that we have God's approval by faith, we have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Through faith, through Christ, we can approach God and stand in His favor. So we brag because of our confidence that we will receive glory from God. Verse 3. But that's not all. We also brag when we are suffering. We know that suffering creates endurance. Endurance creates character. And character creates confidence. Let me catch that. Let me keep reading. We're not ashamed to have this confidence because God's love has been poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. I like that. And I'll tell you where I'm going here today because the Lord spoke to my heart to minister on the word character. What does it mean when we refer to a person's character? I'm going to define that just in a minute. Another version of the Bible says, by faith we have been made acceptable to God. And now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. Christ has introduced us to God's undeserving kindness on which we take our stand. So we are happy as we look forward to sharing in the glory of God. But that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us hope that we will, that He will never disappoint us. All this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit who fills our hearts with love. Someone say, Praise the Lord. What's your character like? Consider that. I want to define character according as it read in Webster. It says character, it's the peculiar qualities impressed by nature, you're born that way, or habits on a person, he develops into that, which distinguish him from others. These constitute real character and the qualities, period. What this is saying, the way you are, that's your character. I know individuals. I know they're lying because their lips are moving.
Someone say praise the Lord.
I know other individuals are telling the truth because their lips are moving. They're people of truth. Now, real character is the way we are. Listen to this. The qualities which is we're supposed to possess constitute our estimated character or our reputation. Real character is who we are. Whereas estimated character is who people think we are. And how many know that sometimes there's a difference? Here's where we are. And here's where people think you are. The difference is hypocrisy. Let me talk about it. Who you are isn't who you are in church. Put on our suit, dressed up nice, smiled at everybody. Everything's fine and grand and dandy, Brother Ted. On my way to heaven, no cares, no worries. But how many know that? That's usually not the way we are. They praise the Lord, I hope you're done. But sometimes our reputation is false. People get the wrong idea. But how many knows either way? God knows who we are. And aren't you thankful that even though He knows, He still loves us? Listen to this. I've got some quotes here. I chased this down as I was preparing this, and these are just too good to pass. He said, a man said, be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. I'm more concerned today about who I am than who you think I am. Because I want you to know I can put on a mask and I can play a role and I can fool most people. Guess what? You can. But God can see through that facade. He knows what you need this morning. And I'm so glad. Just like the Good Samaritan found that man on the roadside and picked him up and took him to the inn and he poured in the oil and the wine. I'm glad today that my God can still pour in the oil and the wine. He can bring the deliverance that you need. He can bring the health that you need. He can bring the victory that you need in your life. He understands where you're at. And I'm glad He's not like the religious folks, the priests. The Levites that passed on by. Let me continue here. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved. Guess who said that? A lady by the name of Helen Keller. Some people think, well, I've got it hard. Like I said earlier, Sister Betty, I feel ashamed sometimes when I see how hard others have it. Amen. And things are handed to me on the silver platter. Friends, I appreciate what you got. One more and I'm going to close. Character is like a tree. And reputation, its shadow. The shadow is what we think it is. And the tree is what we think. Don't measure somebody by the shadow. A man by the name of Abraham Lincoln said that. God sees the truth. Man sees the shadow. God knows who you are. God knows your shortcomings. He knows all about you. And aren't you so thankful that He still loves you? Sister Betty, you come to the piano this morning. I tell you what, friends, I feel a wonderful presence of the Lord in this building. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm not celebrating my birthday, Geneva's birthday. I'm not celebrating being here 10 years. I'm celebrating Jesus today. And I'm celebrating His goodness. I'm thankful today for a wonderful Savior who said, you know, I see that field. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45 tells how the kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in a field when a man's found. What does he do? He goes and sells all he has that he can buy the field and gain the treasure. I've preached on it many times. But I am so glad today that Jesus said, I'm going to buy you. I am going to pay a price on Calvary Street so that I can have you to myself. And Brother Russell, see me as a treasure. Don't know why. I'm glad it is. Don't know why, but I'm glad it is. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know Jesus today? Do you understand Him as your Lord and Savior? Not talking about whose family you're part of. Not talking about mama, daddy, sister, brother. I want you to know it's individual today. You know, when you stand before God, you will stand there by yourself. There'll be no skirt tails or coattails to hide under. I don't care if your name's on the local roll here or not. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to have members. But in sober eternity, church membership means zero. What matters today is your sins under the blood. Do you know Jesus and the free pardon of your sins? Have you been to Calvary? If you haven't, what a wonderful day to make all things right. Why would you wait? Why not today? Why not now? Why not Jesus? Jesus bless you. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. We're getting ready to come and gather on the altar for prayer. I want to pray to first. Let us pray in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We honor you this morning. Thank you this morning for the wonderful access that we have to you. Thank you for justification and being declared not guilty. Thank you for patience, this cheerful endurance that you've given us. Thank you for experience, Lord, that is our true character. Thank you, Lord, for your hand extended in all that you've done. And Lord, this morning we ask that you help us examine our own hearts. And Lord, if there's anything in us, any attitude, any desire that's wrong, Lord, that you help us overcome that. We know, Lord, that you can help us refine our character, that our character could be more like you. Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, you can do the work in us that we cannot do in ourselves. Lord, I acknowledge in the way of each person present, you know each need, you understand each heart, you realize the obstacles we have in our path, and Lord, we just yield ourselves to you right now that you have your way. Minister by your power. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's come and gather around the altar. Friends, kneel at your seat. Find a place this morning. Call on Jesus.